the reason we're talking is because your new documentary, which is called
I Cannot Tell You How I Feel.
Which is about your mom, is going to have a screening at BAM in a matter of days from when we're sitting here. So that's kind of the underlying focus of why we're talking. But it's also nice to have you back.
Thank you for having me back.
I have a lot of fond memories of our screening and some years ago. And you came on to the podcast. And we can now divulge that our last podcast, I don't know if you remember the circumstances, but we sort of did a hoax on my listeners. Do you remember?
I don't remember.
Oh, you're going to laugh. Well, you were late.
Yes.
And you came into Dumbo. But I wanted to do was get into that because time was tight. I wanted to get into the car with you.
Oh, that's right.
And drive around.
I remember that.
Williamsburg with you and have you do an audio documentary sort of pointing out spots and what happened and to the neighborhood and your experiences in the neighborhood.
Right.
And you said, well, can we, you had this great idea because time was tight. So you said, well, can we go into the car, drive around so you get the
atmosphere. Whatever,
right? Yeah. But I'll just fake it.
I'll just pretend.
Yeah, right. That we're in Williamsburg. So we just drove around like Williams true. Dumbo for about 20 minutes.
Right.
But it came out very well.
It's really convincingly.
Funny. Oh. It did.
So nobody will believe anything I say this
time.
Oh,
no, that's true. I just said true.
Here we are sitting in Trump Tower having a conversation.
That's right. Well, just for some more context, this was during a period a few years ago where there was a crop, if you will, of documentaries about New York, but it's more so in Brooklyn, and what was happening to our neighborhoods, you know, with rezoning and development in general, you know, and your, of course, Gut Renovation, which was your penultimate film, the prior film before this one, was about your experience of losing your home in
right.
Williamsburg. So, and you've been here now in Bed-Stuy for
7
wow.
years and some months. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, basically in 2008, I started looking, and we moved in 2009,
okay.
summer.
It must have been going back to, I mean, you have dealt with family in your number of your films already, so this was kind of going back to that, right?
The new film.
Yeah, the new film, excuse me.
Yes, although one thing that's funny about the screening at BAM, which is on November 17th.
Thank you.
Is that they...
At 7?
7:30. Yeah.
Okay.
They decided to program it with The Ties That Bind. So that's a film I made in 1984.
Okay.
About my mother. And of course, this one is about my mother.
30 years later.
Yes. And so they thought, well, let's see what happened in the last 30 years. And I said, well, that's fine. You're the programmers. But I never thought that this film was a sequel in any way related to The Ties That Bind, except for the fact that they're both about the same person. Because the other film, it tells sort of the drastic tales of her life in Germany during the Second World War, where she grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the first long film I made, and it was sort of a looking back at the past of this other person. And when I started making this, I didn't have it in mind at all, except to think, well, I did make another film about her, but it's not as if I meant to, you know, mirror it in any way, or just, I just didn't think of it in relationship to this one, because this one is very much about the present. It's about,
yeah, right.
Wow, look where we are and look what we're going through and... Okay, that's what this film is, and so it'll be interesting for me to see them together, because actually, as I went along in the edit of this film, there were a couple of moments when I wanted to sort of show very briefly something about her character, let's say, or her activities in her daily life, and so I did use some clips from The Ties That Bind, showing her swimming and,
right.
you know.
Yeah.
But, and then I even wondered, like, well, if somebody sees this without knowing The Ties That Bind, will they understand where this footage comes from? It might just look like home movie footage.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a funny thing. Yeah.
You'll be able to kind of discuss. Now, let me ask you a question, and I assume you don't mind divulging the answer.
No.
You were, if you can let me know, we'll I'm see. Sure you'll tell me otherwise. How old was your mom when you made The Ties That Bind?
she was born in 1920. I finished it in 1984. So
64. Now, you are roughly how old when you made I Cannot Tell You How I Feel?
I am about to turn 62.
Okay, so now this is something you reflected on at some point in the film itself, but you kind of noted something about being the age your mother was.
Yes, that was a very weird moment, and that does have to do with The Ties That Bind, because in the new film, I visit her in Chicago, and somebody takes a picture of us. It's the summer, and we're walking along the lake. And in the film, it fades into a picture that was taken of us when I was making The Ties That Bind. Mm. And in that photograph, she's 63. And I have lived for all these years with that photograph, knowing that I'm getting older, of course, but still, it's always my mother, the woman with the gray hair, who's a lot older than me, mm-hmm. in the photograph.
Yeah, sure.
And suddenly, I'm only 2 years younger than her. And that was, aside from many other things, that was very confusing.
Yeah.
Or wake up.
It was a bit of a wake-up call. It is odd, because if I recall my dad, I certainly have memories of my father at my current age and being an adult then.
Right.
Albeit a young adult.
Right.
But the point being, I know what you mean. Is the film, the new one, which again is called I Can't Tell You How I Feel, right? Which is something your mom says during she's so overwhelmed, just being distraught. Because the backdrop, I should mention, of the film or what's going on during this period of time that you're shooting the film is that she's being moved from her home of, I don't know how many years.
Like 52.
52 years in Chicago to just outside of New York City.
Right.
Which, you know, for anybody is a big deal. But for somebody who is as old as your mom is, right, because she's in her 90s?
Yeah, she was 94 when we started moving her. She just turned 96. Her birthday's on Halloween. So, yeah.
Is there a level, I guess my question would be, she's not really putting things in the context of aging because she's been older for a while. So, but are you? I mean, is this
Well, actually, one day she said to me, because she'll say like, oh, I'm so I don't want to be old. And one day she said, you know, I'd really love if I were 20 years younger. Yeah. I was like, Mom, that would make you 75. That's not
yes,
exactly
right.
a young person.
Right.
But I think everything's relative. So
that's right. A
must
spry. Well, she was
to her.
Probably darn like youthful at 75 because in 90s she's still very mobile. And I mean, if you were to ask because of her forgetfulness, if she were diagnosed, my guess is the doctor would say she's 93. That's her diagnosis. I mean, it's not like
exactly.
I mean, at 93, you know. It's a lot of years to remember, let alone just a lot on your mind. I don't know. I mean, the epilogue of the film is she's now in New York and you go to visit she didn't remember that you were coming that day.
Right.
Now, again, it's just being 93 because she, you know, my mother, if I go visit her, she doesn't know my name. She doesn't know what our relationship. She knows she loves me. She'll tell me that, but she doesn't know who.
Well, yeah. That's the next level. I know that hasn't happened yet, but the day that she says, "Oh, hi, do I know you?"
Oh, yeah,
it's going to be pretty rough. I mean, I went through that with my grandparents, so
yeah.
You know,
well,
slightly
may not
prepared,
happen.
But it's different when it's your parent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And my mom is a good over 12 or 13 years younger than. Well, how old is your mom? I'm sorry.
She just turned 96.
96.
Yeah.
15 years younger than your. 16 years younger than my your mother, but she's so it's a different thing, but I think a lot of people are going to be able to identify this relationship is it's to see somebody who's in their early 60s and still grappling with those difficulties with their parent.
It's quite a
universal thing.
One of the feelings I had when I was doing it, and certainly just in living my life while I was making the film, was the fact that we never got any training in dealing with this stuff, right? You know, of course, any of us could have taken a workshop about what happens when your parents start going through this. We could have read books, you know, but we don't. When you're our age or younger, you're just thinking about your life. You're just doing what you're doing. And, you know, somebody else who's a little older may say, oh, God, my grandfather has Alzheimer's or what. You know, you may hear about it and think, oh, that sounds terrible. But I don't think any of us think, well, I'm going to be prepared because I'm, you know, and so suddenly it happens and you have no guidelines. And it's actually kind of reminiscent to me of what happened when we did have to leave Williamsburg and decided to buy a house instead of rent again. And I'd never owned anything. And the learning curve for, like, what's a mortgage? How do you do this? How do you even begin? Was really steep. And, you know, I sort of got through it. We got a place. It all worked out. But this is sort of similar, but of course, much more emotionally charged.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was really lucky that my sister and brother live here also. And
they're both in New York.
They're both in New York. My sister's in Park Slope and my brother lives up in Westchester. And, they're both very capable and responsible and, you know, all of that. And so between the three of us, we were able to figure out what to do. Like, okay, Pete's going to find the lawyer and my sister's going to deal with the doctors and I'm going to deal with the real estate, you know, and we could kind of cross-reference what we were doing and work it all out as opposed to doing it alone. And I've already, you know, in making a film, you're always meeting people and talking about the subject. And even now, I mean, I premiered it in Vienna and talk to people there and meeting people who are alone when they do it. You know, they're either because they're the only child or they have siblings who just won't lift a finger. And I feel so sorry for people who have to do this alone because it's incredible. It's just overwhelming, the amount of stuff that one has to do.
Yeah, it is true. I have a sister, so it was very helpful. But I have friends up in upstate, and I think I was visiting, and they were kind of really telling me a lot about, they both had gone through just 2 years or more of just drama with all their parents, all four of their parents, just so much drama. But I did learn a bit, and I kind of knew the right questions to ask. And I learned what I had to do to get my dad the help he needed.
Uh-huh.
Because he's just not ambitious. I didn't know this. I mean, you know, he was always a provider when I was growing up. You know, always got home after work and provided and was there, present. We went on vacation, you know. But it wasn't until my mom was gone until I realized who really kind of, I don't want to say ran the family, but who was the kind of the force behind the family.
Right.
And that was my mother, because when she's gone, my dad, and given he's now his 80s as well, of course, that has something to do with it. But, you know, he just was willing to go status quo. Every time something, it's like having a car and you never do any preventative tuning up with the car. You just wait till things break. As they break down, you get them patched together. And soon you just have this kind of lemon, you know. And this is what was happening. He wouldn't do anything proactive about it. So I realized I got to get, you know, and he's spending his money, all of his money. But why don't we try to get her on Medicaid, or why aren't we trying to do getting all these services that she may be, you know, so it was, so I just had to sort of
dig in my heels. With, when a person dies, and this summer my father passed away.
Well, sorry about that.
Thank you. And, my brother was for probably 2 months before dealing with him about all his finances.
Right.
And you know, then there was the funeral and all of that, and looking at it, you know, the day after it happened, I thought, oh, well, this is also another big step of something that you should know about. And I talked to Pete, and he said, yeah, and you know what, the whole funeral industry in this country is such a ripoff, like so many other things, you know.
The wedding industry too.
The wedding industry. So there you are, you know, totally in grief. And suddenly there's this funeral director saying, well, maybe you'd like the most expensive coffin and the most expensive whatever. And I remember they asked.
So, Raven style.
Huh? Yeah. And so my father's cremated and there was an urn. And the funeral director asked my brother, and it was like a 5-minute walk from the funeral home to the cemetery. And the funeral director asked him if he would like to have the hearse drive the urn to the cemetery. My brother's like, no, I'll carry it. It weighs like 5 pounds, right?
Right?
And how much would they have charged for, you know, the hearse to transport it?
Right.
So it's like there are so many things about this that are, again, I think we don't really want to think about them. We don't want to know about them until it happens. But, you know, buyer beware, like sometimes it helps to know things ahead of time.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
yeah. So you realize you were moving your mother down to New York, right? And that was, of course, a huge obstacle, no doubt. I'm assuming she put up something of a fight for
a bit, yeah.
Right? And we see some of that, although it seems like it's already resolved by the time the film is in the present. But, I mean, were you feeling like the urge to tell this new story, or this particular story just was speaking to you? Or I guess I'm wondering how you knew it was time to start making a new film. Probably a better way of putting it.
Yeah, that is a good question. It's always a good question. I mean, when anything is done, how do you start the new one? What's the new one going to be?
Well, gut renovation, you know, for instance, had a much more universal... There was this thing that was going on. There was a context to it.
The whole neighborhood was experiencing this thing.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
So, yes, it, you know, that came from, I think, a lot from that sense of this shared experience. And in this case, it was more... I mean, one of the things about the film is that I really tried, and also with the help of my partner, who's a very good editor and has a good sense of humor, I tried to inject some humor in the film because this could potentially be a really dreary subject and really depressing. And there are humorous aspects to it.
Right.
And so early in the film, my mother asks if I'm going to come along with her as they leave the house. And on the screen, because I use a lot of text in the film, I say, yes, but I'm going to be hiding behind my camera. Now, that was written after the fact, you know, when I was editing, and I heard her ask me that question on camera.
Oh, and you recorded it after the fact?
Well, yeah. Well, no, she, I'm looking at the footage. It's the day she leaves, and I'm looking at the shot where she says, Susie, you're going to come with us? And I say, yeah. And as I was editing, I thought, yes, but I'm going to hide behind my camera, because while I was editing, I kept kind of thinking about the fact that I had been having my camera on during so much of this, because I knew that I wasn't thinking at the beginning, like, I'm going to make a film about moving my mother. You know, that absolutely was not my thought. I thought, holy shit, we have to do all of this. It's going to ruin the summer. It's going to be a nightmare. And I realized that my little, like, Sony pocket, you know, photo camera also shot video. So I just started using it, and she wasn't aware of it. And it was partly just to, you know, I thought, well, maybe I'll just look at this footage later so I remember what happened, because I'm so freaked out that I'm not going to remember what it was like. In one case, like when we were looking at the place where we were going to move her, it was the same way when you buy a house, like you just go in with a little video camera to, you know, like that, oh God, what street was that house on? What did it look like? So just to have like a video record of it. So there were various ways in which I picked up the camera and used the camera. But at some point, you know, early in the fall, after we had done the whole move and everything, I thought, you know, I've got a lot of footage here. I've got a lot of ideas. So let me see what happens if I start editing. So it kind of went like that.
And then a story emerges.
And a story emerged.
Mm.
Plus, as I said before, when you're having this experience, you just start meeting tons of people who are having it. Friends, strangers, whatever. And so the more I was in the experience and talking to people, the more I thought, well, this might be something that other people would like to see, either because it will reflect their own experience, or if you're younger, it might be sort of instructive in some way. And actually, you know, when I showed it in Vienna, a couple of people after the first, so it was the very first screening to a big audience of the film, and I had no idea how people would feel. And afterwards, a number of people came up to me and said, that was so liberating. And I was like, it was liberating? And they said, yeah, because I think those things also, and I'm afraid to think them, and I think I'm a really bad person if I think them. And I'm really glad you said those things.
Do you have a sense that you're far more, maybe more outspoken than the average when it comes to personal feelings?
Well,
or your personal life?
I might be a little bit more, yes.
Well, you might be so accustomed to it because you've made how many films about...
Well, they're not all about family, but I mean, I've made 24 films. And
yeah,
I mean, a bunch of them are pretty frank, I would say, about stuff that goes on between people.
right.
in families or what you're going through. Or like, well, the odds of like recovery was about medical problems right. yeah. or issues. And I think there were some very frank moments in that. So I do try to say it like it is.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I think there are certain parts of the, you know, world where that's not what people do, you know, right. it's not the way you're supposed to be. And, but right. I think people do want it, or maybe they just, as this person, you know, mm-hmm. as this person admitted that, that I think a lot more people probably wish they could be more frank about,
well, it's
not be ashamed of their, these feelings.
But it's like reading, you know, Fun Home, the Alison Bechdel book and, or Roz Chast's book, mm-hmm. Can't We Talk About Something More Pleasant? And, you know, I read those and think, thank you so much for being so upfront mm-hmm. about what really goes on, you know, in these situations. But I don't know if Roz and Allison had somebody sitting at their elbow, but in my case, you know, I go along, I'm editing, and once in a while I'll say to Kathy, hey, could you look at this? Tell me what you think.
Right.
And there was one moment in particular, which I won't say now because if somebody sees it, I'd rather they just experience it for the first time, but... there was this one moment where I was saying something about my mother and feeling like, oh, yes, and I'm so much like her. I'm her daughter. And I had said something, and Kathy said, that is so, like, euphemistic and kind of wishy-washy, and that's not how you really feel. And I said, oh, you're right. And I said, so what do I really feel? I kind of know, but I'm not going to say it. And she said, well, let's talk about this. And I ended up, you know, sort of with her writing this little statement, and which I thought was so, like, exposing of me. And then she said, and I did a recording of it, and she said, yeah, but you know what you should do? You should whisper it. I was like, that's a great idea. So, you know, mm-hmm. I sort of performed it in this desperate whisper. So I wouldn't say I'm always able to be as frank, but with her prodding me a little bit, mm-hmm. I get a little more frank. Mm-hmm.
Keep me honest. Did your mom get a chance to see it? No, that's not going to happen.
That's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. It'd be too painful.
I think it would disturb her. I don't think it would do her any good, so to speak.
Right.
I mean, I don't think she would mm-hmm. be whatever. And also, it's really bizarre when somebody is in the state that my mother is in now, which is to say that she forgets. 3 minutes later, what happened? Did we just have lunch? Yes. You know, you barely...
Right.
The dish is still in front of you kind of thing. To me, I don't even understand what it would mean for her to see it if 5 minutes later she would forget mm-hmm. that she had seen it.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, you want to show something to somebody, let's say, because then you will talk. They will reflect on it. They will get back to you. They will, you know, you might change it. And with her, it would just sort of disappear. And so, I don't know. Mm-hmm. I just mm-hmm. don't want to do it.
Not nice to be my age.
Well, Mom, it's not bad considering your condition. You're in good shape for your age.
Yeah, that's what everybody says, you know. You should just be so happy. My God, look at the shape you are in.
Yeah.
Well, look at the pumpkins. I love that.
Has she seen a lot of your work?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
What does she make of it?
She likes it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she's interested in it. She, she's happy that I'm a filmmaker. So I don't feel like I wouldn't show it to her because she hasn't been supportive of me.
Yeah.
And of course, the real experience of showing her a film of mine was when I did The Ties That Bind. So it was a completely different situation before, and I was working in film then. So that meant all the expense and trouble of getting a print. So I showed it to her when it was still on the editing table, so that I could be sure that what I had said was correct, how I represented her was correct. And I felt that was really necessary, and we, you know, just worked it out fine. So,
yeah. I mean, I understand also why BAM is pairing, you know, I mean, from a programming standpoint, but also it's specific to the career of Sue Friedrich, too, because I think your films do talk to each other. And I think there's something that is different about your body work than a lot of other documentary filmmakers who are looking for the subject, you know. So they kind of work together if you watch. I mean, I've only seen maybe four or five, I think. But, you know, it seems like they work together.
Yeah.
You know, you're seeing your life in, you know, in stages.
It's weird because there are so many thousands at this point, people who know so much about me, and I don't know. Like, I'll have somebody come up to me at a screening who says, you know, oh, I've seen all your films, and they'll start talking about my father and my old, you know, my partner and my this and my that. And I'm like, and it's so weird because it's like they really know tons of stuff about me, and I don't know who they are. I don't even know their name.
Yeah.
And it's odd. It's odd. But, I mean, of course, that's going to happen if I do the kind of work I do. But, you know, another thing about showing those two films together that kind of just occurred to me is that I had made about four or five short films, also silent films, before I made The Ties That Bind. So that was like my big, sort of my big breakthrough. I'm going to start working with sound. It's going to be 54 minutes instead of 15 minutes. You know, it was really a leap for me.
Yeah.
But it was also going to be a documentary of sorts. But because I had come out of this experimental film tradition and had all kinds of principles and beliefs and whatever about film, I chose not to do any talking heads in it. I didn't shoot any sync sound. I shot everything with the Bolex. You hear her in voiceover. I mixed incredible amounts of images together to tell the story. And so it was, on the one hand, my first documentary, in quotes, my first documentary, and I've made a bunch since, but it was the first of what has been a series of films, which some people could call a documentary, because it's a record of somebody alive in the real world, as opposed to an actor, but it's quite unconventional in its form from a regular documentary. And so is this film. So, you know, I feel like 30 years later, I still am really interested in picking up my camera and shooting the world in front of me, but that doesn't mean I'm going to do a Talking Heads documentary. And I have nothing, I have no objection to that kind of film. I see lots of them. I think they're great, but it's not who I am. So I think in a way this shows that in all these years, I haven't really left some of those early
principles.
Ideas that I had.
I understand. Yeah. That's great way of putting it. There's a through line.
There's more humor now than there was in the past. Oh. I think The Ties That Bind was very serious. And this is has more humor.
Yeah. You've lightened up a bit.
Well, I just think humor is a really important part of life.
Yeah.
You know.
Especially when you're confronting all this mortality stuff.
Yeah.
True. Really have to use it or tap it, because otherwise
getting old isn't for sissies, as Betty Davis said. Yeah.
The name again of the documentary is called I Cannot Tell You How I Feel, directed by Sue Friedrich.
Can I say something about the title?
Yeah.
Okay.
Please.
So I have made, you know, 23, 24 films. All of them have a title that's some form of idiom, aphorism, saying, whatever you want to call it.
Yes.
Like, you
Gut
know,
renovation.
Gently Down the Stream, Damned If You Don't, The Ties That Bind, Rules of the Road, Sink or Swim, The Odds of Recovery. You get the picture right from the ground up. Right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Every time I've made a film in the last decade or more, I've thought, don't do it this time. Come up with a title that isn't a known thing, you know?
Yeah.
And I always end up with a
the
known
aphorism.
Thing.
Right.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So this time, again, I thought, I have no idea what the title is. Let's see what happens. Please let it not be. And I like the titles. I don't mind them. I just think sometimes you shouldn't do what you've always done, right?
Sure.
So when I shot that, what is the first scene of the film of her talking, you know, sort of traumatized the day she's leaving. So I was filming her, and I thought she was finished what she was saying. And I turned off the camera, but she continued talking. So I quickly turned the camera back on. But it meant that the shot kind of fell to the floor and then got back up on her. So when I was editing, I thought, oh, well, that's a mess. That looks terrible. What am I going to do? How am I going to cover it? I'll find some old photographs of her, whatever. So I just put black over it. And then I was editing, and I heard her say, I cannot tell you how I feel, and then continue talking when she came back on camera. But this phrase was where the image was a mess.
It was a blank. Yeah.
And I just thought, well, that's the title. And then I really loved it because I could make the title come up on the screen while you heard it being said. But also, it's her saying it because it's her voice. But it's me saying it because it's the title of my film. And there's a great irony in it because guess what? She does tell us how she's feeling. And right. Guess what? So do I.
You know, at certain terms.
So I was just like, yay! I love this.
Finally. And you've been liberated.
That's right.
And the screening again is on at BAM.
Thursday, November 17th.
November 17th, which is coming right up. So.
Right. And it's only that one night. Sometimes people think, oh, it's a week run, whatever. Right. But in this, and I, you know, hopefully I'll show it at other places around the city. But at the moment, that's it. And it's the New York premiere. So I'm very excited.
Yeah, it's a great venue for your premiere. And did you just submit it, or what?
I sent it. I sent it to one of the programmers and just said, you know, let me know what you think. And she wrote back and said, we'd love to show it. So
that's a nice answer that, you know,
yes.
Maybe you were kind of hoping for somewhere
exactly.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.